Sunday Meditation, March 23rd, 1997.
I'll put them both together as best I can. Hi, guys. Today's question has to do with seeking and searching. We all have experiences from time to time where we feel like something is going on inside, and it feels very significant to us as seekers, but we don't really quite know how to work with it. The experiences are rather intense. They can become more intense as time goes on. And there seems to be the tendency of the seeker to reach out and try and grasp what is happening, to sort of grab a hold of it and start wrestling with it right away. The question that we would like to know is, when we find ourselves in these situations, how can we remain open to the experience and work with it? Is it a question of attempting to grab a hold of it, to simply let it be, to let it go, as Roman has suggested, and allow it to flow through us? These are the questions that are on our minds today.
We are those of the principle known to you as Kuo. Greetings and blessings to each in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator. We thank you for calling us to your meeting this day. The experience of blending our vibrations with yours in meditation is a lovely gift. And we thank you as well for being willing to let us share our opinions and thoughts with you, asking you, as always, to discriminate as you are listening to that which we say, so that you may take those thoughts that seem good to you and leave the rest behind. This day, your query is the we give this instrument the concept of a national anthem or a favorite song of the wanderer. That is how to learn from the catalyst that occurs to one who is walking the spiritual path, how to use that catalyst that is yours with the most efficiency, the most respect, and the most success. The spiritual path is often described in terms of difficulty, as though the losses and limitations that affect all within the heavy illusion of your third density were puzzles that could be deciphered, riddles that could be solved, equations that could be completed. And in a very real sense, this is so. Yet, in a very important way, this is not so. And this paradox is, as always, the hallmark of the spiritual concern, befuddling the intellect, defeating logic. confusing the seeker. And to what end? Is this a desired spiritual occurrence from the commonality of the difficult experiences for each seeker? The answer would seem to be in the affirmative. But what is there to enable the spiritual seeker to be more skillful in looking at those things that are points of confusion and occasions for the many emotions surrounding fear and frustration? First, let us address the happenings themselves, those things that come seemingly at random upon the unwary seeker, the auto accident that is visited upon one out of nowhere, the sudden loss that is unacceptable, the limitation that seems to be directly athwart every hope of progress. The heart of this question moves into the reason for your density of experience at this juncture of time and space, that is, third density itself. For indeed, your illusion is specifically designed to place each seeker repeatedly in situations of limitation and loss, situations that trigger every fear, every confusion that the human heart possesses. Although it may seem that the Creator that helped mold the nature of your illusion is either mischievous or mean or possessed of a poor sense of humor, the truth seems to be that the Creator wished that each spirit, each spark of self, once radiated outward from the Creator, would have the experience of falling into the chasm of the unknown with no parachute except faith. This is the point that the spirit of love wishes each of its sparks to attain, that point where it is realized that faith is a way that lives upon itself without any scientific support. The Creator hungers for each entity to turn towards it, to be drawn so to the great original thought of love, that in spite of every limitation and loss and difficulty, each heart remain faithful. And of each entity's own free will, to cleave unto creative love itself, and to stand firm in a serene knowing that despite all appearances, things are as they should be. When one is experiencing privation or difficulty, certainly the last thing that seems a good idea is to fold the hands and say, "This is perfect." And yet, this statement that is, "This is perfect," is the deepest truth in any situation. The more it looks like an untruth, then, the greater the part that faith must play within the mind and emotions and heart of the seeker. We believe that in older creations than your own, free will was not so valued. And therefore, third density was offered without avail, without that forgetting that occurs during the birth process, so that each entity who awakens upon the earth plane is kept from knowing its spiritual identity and the spiritual nature of the surrounding creation. Although the second density continues to speak volumes to one who has the ears to hear concerning the endless generosity of the Creator and the infinite way in which each part of creation serves each other part. The veil being drawn over all existence except that which you are experiencing at this moment. Creates a situation that is ripe for confusion. And we are not surprised to see that each seeker within this circle has been confused again and again. And in this confusion, each has set the stage for the choice between reasoning based upon fear and reasoning, if you would call it that, based upon love. For faith is the active application of love to situations that astound, confuse, or befuddle you. This instrument, once at a time near death, placed a motto above the bed in which she lay. That motto was faith, the final frontier. And for each of you, this faith is as the grail that is desired. That is sought after, that is hoped for. But how actually to attain this spiritual attitude . There are many ways to help awaken that faculty of faith. But we feel that in the mix of things needed to pursue faith, paramount is a willingness to jump off into the unknown. And to believe that all is well for no reason except faith alone. For no reason except that deep feeling that there is order, that there is purpose, and that there is a rhythmic way to progress. The more jangled events and voices and tempers become, the more the intellect is locked. This instrument would say gridlocked. With the nonsensical nature of such occurrences. The spirit of love hopes that such times of crisis will trigger within the seeker the realization that this is another crux at which faith may be invoked. Faith can begin with very small things. Faith that you shall wake up when you go to sleep. Faith that you are who you think you are. Faith that the sun will rise, that the birds will sing, that the seasons will progress to a time of blooming when things look grim and dark. It is like a muscle. It must be used. And not when it is convenient, alone, but when it is inconvenient, especially. Many are the signs and wonders offered to the illusion by energies and essences within spirit. Many are the visions of those who seek visions. Many are the miracles of healing, prayer, and love. Many are the occasions to note and marvel at the faith of others. Many are the stories whose burden is that faith and faith alone has pulled the seeker through. This instrument recalls an instance when a missionary couple were fighting not only the ignorance and poor conditions of a Aboriginal tribe, but also a terrible outbreak of illness. No matter how hard they worked, they could not keep up. And they were becoming more and more weary. Being people of rare faith, they chose to meet the situation by rising even an hour earlier and praying in silence. And in peace, knowing that all was well, knowing that there was enough. And as these affirmations spiraled heavenward, this couple found peace. And they were able to meet the impossible demands of the situation with humor and dignity. They did not hold their burdens, you see, but made a point of giving them to the Creator, of taking every burden, worry, and care, and placing all as if giving a present in the capable hands of love. For truly the Creator broods over each of you, so in love with each of you. We cannot express the intensity of that love that we have perceived coming to us and to all from the Infinite One. We are His heart's darlings. We are the children of creation. And this describes our nature beyond all illusion. When this has begun to become a part of who the seeker is, when this feeling of being so loved and so precious has sunk in and taken root in a subtle and ever-changing way, the life begins to be transformed. Because the self finally accepts the Creator's opinion of self and can begin to see by faith alone that whatever is upon the surface, the self is the Creator's own from its very origins upwards. This is the native land. This is the home. This is the safety of each. Not the power, security, or any manifested part of how the world thinks about itself, but rather the safety and security lie in remembering whose child you truly are, whose service you truly wish to join, whose love you truly wish to channel through yourself and into the world. Now, some of what you asked this day concerns how the seeker can tell that something is occurring that is of a pattern that is especially meaningful to look at. And we would say to each that when there is a time of testing, trial, or temptation, the key aspect of the situation is pattern. When you can spot within your thinking a repeated theme, a repeated motif, then you can tell yourself in good authority, this is something I want to look at more closely, more deeply. What is there in this pattern that has caught me? Where am I stuck? Since the heavy illusion guarantees that nothing is what it seems, the powers of mentation are not particularly useful at deciphering the pattern. However, if the seeker will move into the feelings and emotions that have arisen in connection with this pattern, then the seeker may be able more easily to use this material, because it is in the responses that are chosen to catalyst that occurs that the self expresses self. So we would say in meditation, allow the silence to do its work. But in contemplation, simply allow the self to move into those states of emotion that arise in this pattern. Feel that state. Enter into every nook and cranny of this emotion, or of this nexus of emotions. Allow association to move your feelings and see if there are a constellation of events or memories that seem to trigger the same type of emotional response. In this way, you are working upon your consciousness without departing from working upon the situation at hand. For there is a self that is beneath all of these experiences that come within the incarnation. as one goes through the illusion day by day. One can more and more find composure where formerly there was conflict, simply because the attitude of faith has begun to take root. And the need is not felt so quickly to move into patterns that take one away from faith and into the doubtful waters of opinions and words and points of view. What we have to offer to you is a very simple thing. We are here to speak of love because love is truly all that there is. The energy of love, when touched by free will, has created the manifested world. But all things that are in this world still vibrate with the one great original thought. And you are those on their first voyage as self-aware entities that are citizens not just of time and space, but of eternity. And within incarnation, you are attempting to sail the ship of flesh and at the same time realize that there is a deeper ocean of spirit and that the deeper identity is of one launched upon a shakedown cruise in that metaphysical sea, which cannot be seen or felt or heard or touched, but which is dearer in the heart than any manifested thing to a seeker. So you are dual citizens, and to combine the spiritual and the earthly is sometimes an interesting challenge. We encourage each in two ways. Firstly, we encourage each to, as this instrument would say, validate the self. To stand up for the self, to feel good about self, to take care mentally, spiritually, physically, to love the self. And we encourage you to release fear as it feels safe to you to do so, and to replace that quite understandable emotion with faith. Simply to live by faith is to bring an end a paradox and confusion. For to faith, all things are acceptable. All experiences are those of love and the distortions of love. Faith is, shall we say, a code word suggesting a vibration that is more like the vibration of love itself. So wherever you are, when you suddenly feel challenged, turn inward for the remembrance of your real and overriding nature. You are not simply a person caught between birth and death in a dance of no meaning. You are also a citizen of eternity, a child of the Creator, and a dweller in light. We would at this time ask if you have further questions. We are those of Kuo and believe that we grasp your query. My sister, we would say that those who seek spiritually do indeed have an urgent and telling purpose. And yet that purpose is not one which naturally occurs to those within the illusion. For within the illusion, there is always that feeling of doing something in order to be useful. And as spiritual entities, that translates into the feeling that one has to be doing something, some career, some vocation or calling, whose activity serves the spiritual purposes of humankind. However, it is our opinion that the mission and the purpose for which each of you took incarnation was simply to live, to offer your vibrations to the planetary consciousness. It may seem that this offering of self to lighten the planetary web of consciousness is a small thing, perhaps a useless thing, for seekers generally do not feel that they are operating at a high vibration. Yet, with all the confusion and all the distortion surrounding reactions to the confusion, notwithstanding, living moment by moment with the heart open to love, is enough purpose and mission to cram a lifetime so full that it radiates light. Certainly some entities are offered careers or callings which are obviously helpful. And for those people, there is the siren call of, look at what I'm doing. I can be proud. You see, this is a secondary or indirect way of serving. It only seems direct because of the way the manifestation seems. The actual direct and common career of each seeker, first of all, is to live and be an entity of loving and being loved, an entity of the open heart. May we answer you further, my sister. We thank you, my sister, very much, and wish you well upon your journey. Is there another query at this time?
Yes, Clark. I have a question that has to do with the use of red ray energy. My life circumstances at this point, and some of the awarenesses that I've come across with respect to red ray energy, in particular with respect to the act of sexuality, kind of put me in a position where I choose celibacy. And I feel that there could be a use for this energy, which I carry in great abundance, by simply offering it to the planetary consciousness. And I was wondering if there was a way that an individual in these circumstances could do this, or is it just, is it as simple as offering self, all of self, in service to the one who created me?
We are those of Kuo, and we do grasp your query. We believe that we can certainly confirm that which you say, that simply the offering of all of self to the Creator is the central or key act, metaphysically speaking. For when seen from this standpoint, whether that energy of sexuality is offered in exchange with a partner in the act of intimacy, or whether that energy is offered whole and pristine back to the Creator. It is that turning of self to Creator with the desire to offer all of self that is the important thing. There are many ways in which seekers have found good use for sexual energy. In the giving of it and in the holding of it. We cannot say that one way is better than another, although certainly those who have to be celibate, and here we refer to those among your peoples called monks and nuns, feel that theirs is the higher path. And yet, the simple gift of the complete self to another is as the offering of the virginal self to the Creator when each is done with the same purity of dedication to the Creator. There are many possible ways to vent and express the red ray energy, which have not much virtue, metaphysically speaking. And the key is simply to gather the self and offer that self completely. Once this is done, the knowledge that what is yours will come to you rhythmically and naturally may perhaps keep the mind at peace with this decision, that is to express the sexual nature only as a gift to the Creator. Once this decision is made, whether that gift is a gift of celibacy or an energy exchange with another who also wishes only to serve the Infinite One, the result is precisely the same. May we answer you further, my brother?
No, not on that subject. Boy, that just made it crystal clear. I do have another question that has to do with the archetypal mind. I have not done any study of this particular subject, say through experience. And the thing that's on my mind in reference to the archetypal mind at this point is, why would a seeker at any point... Well, let me back up. Let me figure out a different way to rephrase that. There are references in literature to various individuals throughout history who have touched the archetypal mind in their experience in some way, shape, or form. Is there a significance to this in terms of I'm really having a hard time putting this into words, but basically what it has to do with is, why do seekers touch the archetypal mind? What is it that opens those opportunities, and why is it necessary for that to happen? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to leave it at that for this point, and I will question further as I give it more thought. I was wondering if you could comment on this, as long as I haven't confused it too much.
We are those of Akuo, and we do not mind being confused, my brother. We rather enjoy it. The archetypical mind is a part of the deep mind of each entity. The roots of mind begin with that region closest to the conscious mind's threshold. And as one follows these roots, one finds various levels of group mind within the mind. The ethnic group mind, the geographical group mind, the political group mind, and so forth. Deeper than these are the planetary mind, the archetypical mind, and the all mind, or the knower that is the known. The archetypical mind is a set of structures that create a way to think about the self as a metaphysical being. Within a mythical system, there are characters with which one may find identity. Each who has used that identity to further deepen one's own spiritual nature will be familiar with this. For instance, this instrument shall be, during the coming week, which it calls Holy Week, be following the footsteps of the one known as Jesus, deeply identifying with this entity's sacrifice, deeply rejoicing in this entity's triumph over death. The archetype that is being explored is the archetype of transformation. As spiritual beings, there is far more to the self than can be imagined or compassed. And so, as the mind struggles to process information which has no words, that which transcends words becomes increasingly useful. The drama, the comedy, the painting, the opera, the art that pulls an entity beyond words into emotional states . These are valuable things because they trigger truth from the standpoint of emotion or the heart rather than concept and the mind. And the seeker is attempting to get to the heart of self, to live from the heart of self. And so these archetypes, which carry great rivers of purified emotion within them, are extremely helpful. As the seeker meditates, it is offered material which is beyond words. It is that still, small voice that moves upon the sea of feelings and emotions. The seeker will come again and again to realizations which cannot be summed up in words. And in this process, which is so subtle, the use of the archetypical mind is constant, seldom breaking forth into the conscious mind in most cases, but always going on beneath the surface. This is the way consciousness works. In an easy and comfortable partnership with the consciousness that is yours within the personality shell, the mind and the body that are given for this incarnation alone, there is constant communication between consciousness and the personality shell of self. And as the seeker becomes more comfortable with truths that have no words, the self can more and more reside in that way of being which does not need words. And from this point of view, shall we say, there can be an ever-increasing ease of motion in switching from that state of being, which is deeply peaceful, to the self that meets and greets and acts with the illusion, resting ever more abundant harvests of experience from the catalyst offered. May we answer you further, my brother?
Forgive me, my curiosity is getting the best of me. What particular archetype does Judas represent? And I'll just add to that that I really appreciate those words that you just offered. A great deal, a really great deal.
My brother, this is your meat to chew. May we have a final query at this time?
Yes, Claire, just one more question about the archetype. The particular myth that a seeker will be attracted to when touching the archetypal mind, is that unique to the seeker, or are there commonalities among seekers?
We are those of Kuo. My brother, for the most part, entities find themselves most comfortable with the myth that is shared by their culture. When the culture does not identify greatly with any mythical system, then it is that the seeker is challenged to explore possibilities for itself. We find your culture at this time in such a state of flux. The lip service given to the mythical system of your Christianity and Judaism remain current and widespread. Yet the emotional involvement of the culture as a whole in this mythical system is at a low level. In this atmosphere, each seeker will find ways to create from a synthesis of various systems or from within the self a unique path. And this is more and more the way that those within your culture are moving. May we speak further upon this subject, my brother?
No, got it. Crystal clear.
We find that this instrument's energy runs low, and the circle's energy to listen, perhaps even lower. We would have no problem talking with you right through the supper hour. However, we are sure that you would not wish it so. And so we will leave you, glorying in the fellowship that we enjoy with you, thanking each for the dedication and courage that brings each out of his and her way to this meeting of souls. They leave you in ineffable love and light. Now and always, we are those known to you as Kral. Adonai. 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 Anne, Ethel, Judy, Spider Rainbow, Scott, Ophelia, Kirkley family, Bean family, Clary family. Others? Walter. Poopy. Peace.
This dear old
Lander. I am the circle in you are healing me. I am the circle in you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one.